This is an interview with Governor Vicatia at his office in Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is November 24th, 1992, and this is tape one, side one. I thought maybe we'd first begin with a background of your family. Maybe you could state your full name. I noticed the G, and I never saw what the G in the middle.
What the G is all about, George.
Yeah. George, after your father.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's Victor George Atiyah then.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Victor George. Yeah. Okay. for the tape, Victor George Atiyah. That's right. Yeah.
And maybe you could first tell me a little bit about your family in Syria. Where in Syria they came from, and as much as you know about their background.
My father came from a village called Amar El Hassan, A-M-A-R and then E-L-H-O-S-N. It's a village up on a hill, wouldn't really call it up on a mountain, which would be out of Homs, H-O-M-S. It's a large city in Syria, north of Damascus. I'm trying to remember how long it takes to drive, but, I don't know, 2 hours or 2.5 hours to Homs or something like that, maybe three and a half hours to the village. Incidentally, that's another thing that's hard for Americans to understand. The geography, in some cases, is not very large. When they talk about the country of Lebanon or the country of Palestine or Israel. And we're not talking about a lot of geography there. You could cover that whole country in just a short time. But anyway, the family home is still there. I visited now twice in recent years. The first time I visited was when I was 6 years old. My father and uncle came to this country prior to 1900. Now, when I put it the way I just did, I'm not quite certain about all of that. I think my uncle may have come first, shortly followed by my father, or they may have come together. I really don't really know. But in any event, they settled in South Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And that, incidentally, is really almost part of Allentown, Pennsylvania. That's all in that whole area. And the best understanding I have is that they were selling goods to peddlers. And there was a lot of peddlers in those days.
Do you happen to know how they came from Syria? What their mode of transportation was?
Well, it'd have to be a boat. There's no other way to do that.
Did they travel through Europe, or did they come across the Mediterranean, across the Atlantic?
I have no idea.
They never told you stories?
I never asked the question. They never told me the story. I can tell you at another chronological stage how we did it when as a six-year-old we went, but I don't know how they came.
And when they came, did they come through New York?
Yeah, they came through Ellis Island.
Everybody did, didn't they, back then?
Yeah, and I don't know, just not too long ago, 2-3 years ago, you could give them some money and their name goes on the wall. And so my father's name, my brothers and I all put some money in, and but that is for the benefit of restoration of Ellis Island. And their names are, my dad's name is on the wall, my uncle, I presume my cousins have done the same thing. In any event, that's what happened.
Do you know why they went to South Bethlehem?
I have no idea.
That's a steel area, isn't it?
Steel, that's right, mm-hmm. Yeah. How they got there, I don't know. I didn't ask that question either. I asked the question to my father, how come you came from South Bethlehem to Portland, Oregon? I asked that question.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the previous question just didn't occur to me. Anyway, this was all prior to 1900. Sometime prior to 1900. Now, whether that was 1897 or 1896 or 1898, I'm not quite sure, but that's all prior to 1900. Then, now speaking to my trip as a six-year-old, We went to Syria, we went to actually Beirut, spent time there, and then went to this town of Amar. As a little youngster, I can remember bits and pieces of my visit there. Then I think the reason I asked the question, how come Portland, Oregon, as I got a little bit older and got a little better sense of history of Portland and what it was like in 1900, and all of a sudden I said to myself, you know, this little dinky village in Amar, Syria, how come they came to Portland, Oregon? You know, you think of New York and Chicago and Detroit and Philadelphia and Boston, Portland, Oregon, not. But somebody apparently had come through and said that this area was a good place to sell Oriental rugs. You put up half, I'll put up half, and I'll go out and sell them. And apparently, this is the story my dad tells me, this guy didn't put up his half. So my uncle came out to protect his interest and apparently liked what he saw, and they closed up shop and came to Portland in 1900. The business at that time was known as A. Atiyya and Brother.
Did he come by train?
Yeah.
Across?
Mm-hmm.
Did he ever tell you anything about his journey in 1900?
No. Well, I say yes, I'm making that presumption, but that's the only way really you could do it.
Right.
They were not covered wagon people, so I don't think they were doing covered wagons in 1900. But Atiyya and brother being my father, Atiyya being my uncle, which is Aziz, A-Z-I-Z. I can't tell you the time, but and I only learned it actually years later, but my father had married someone by the name of Victoria Hatun. And apparently she got ill. She may have been an Egyptian. How he met her, I can't tell you any of that either, because I don't know. I just found out years later that that was the case. And anyway, passed away in Egypt. 1921, I guess it would be. My father went back to the old country to get a bride. Now I've asked the question, how did my father meet my mother? You know, how did this happen? And I very recently was in Allentown for the first time. Went to Bethlehem, South Bethlehem, took pictures, although I don't know exactly where they were located. There's a lot of people that are from the village or from the Atiyya family in Allentown now, including some woman that's well over 90 years old who remembers me when I went there as a six-year-old.
Really?
Actually was in the village when my father married, I guess, beginning honeymoon, and went to the village in Amar, because she gave me a photograph of my mother and father in the village. But I asked her, you know, how did my father meet my mother? Still don't have an answer. And obviously I'm never going to get one. But anyway, met my mother. They were married in Beirut, which at those days, in 1920, would have been Syria. That's all part of Syria. Mm-hmm. Anyway, came back, and just a short version is that my twin brothers were born in October of 21, and I was born in February of 23.
Going back to your father's marrying your mother, was there an importance placed on your father going back to Syria to find a wife rather than finding one in Portland, or why the long journey? I mean, what kind of meaning did this have?
Well, I'm going to have to do some guessing, but it's probably correct that. There was this feeling that you marry someone of your own ethnic background. You marry a Syrian. And in later years, it didn't make much difference. None of us, my brothers or I, married anyone that was any Arabic background. Mm-hmm. Made no difference at all. And yet, I do know that my cousin, who was older than I am, went through a very tormenting time with my uncle. And he did marry a non-Syrian, because he was going with and going to marry someone that was not a Syrian. It was my uncle. And that would have been, you know, in the late 30s. So I have to guess that back there in 1920, that still was a prevalent feeling, maybe with my father at that time, although he wasn't nearly as keen, nor my mother. As a matter of fact, there was no problem at all with any of us marrying non-Syrians. So I have to presume that was it. It wasn't a matter of choosing somebody here. You had to go find a Syrian girl.
Your father was born where?
In Syria. Yeah, my mother too. Uh-huh.
And was there much emphasis that you could tell, you know, when you were a child, about preserving cultural values or customs or, you know, sociologists have this theory that it takes three generations to fully assimilate into our society, and you're the I don't know whether you'd be considered the second or the third generation, but because your father also came from Syria, but your uncle and your father were the ones that came over first.
That's right.
So that you'd be the second generation. I was wondering whether there was emphasis when you were a child on preserving some of the customs, speaking any of the language, of that.
No, actually, it was the opposite.
Really,
my relatives and others, when I get over to the Middle East, ask if I speak Arabic, and my answer is no, because my father said, "You're an American. You don't need to learn the language." Mm-hmm. Now, my mother and father spoke in Arabic. With some frequency, not all the time. They would take us as children to go visit friends and some relatives that here around in Portland, and it would be really a Syrian event. You know, we'd have dinner and there was a club, but there was no effort really to make us other than Americans. It was just entirely the opposite. Mm-hmm. We never did learn the language.
When your father and your uncle spoke, did they speak in English?
They would speak in English to each other. Although by the time I was born, my uncle already was in New York. He left in the early 20s and took his family, and he went to, this was a retail in rugs here in Portland, and started a business of importing and wholesaling in New York City. So I really saw very little of my father and uncle together. Mm-hmm. But my mother and father would speak Arabic, argue in Arabic too, at great length.
Was that to keep it from the children, so to speak?
It's hard to tell, or just easier to argue in Arabic.
Then the store was opened up in here in 1900.
Yes.
And I had read that there was a, in 1905 when the exposition was here, that your businesses, your family's business carpets won a major prize, which was the first of many that you received.
Yes. We had a display at the Lewis and Clark Fair in 1905. And we did when we have our own, they call gold medal. Mm-hmm. It's really not gold, it's bronze, although I've seen some gold, but I think the winners took them and got them gold plated. But we won a gold medal and a certificate. And as a matter of fact, something additionally interesting, which is a banner with our name on it and gold medal and so forth. It says, what does it say, Tier Brothers? I'm trying to. I think it was by then Tia Brothers. I'm not sure, but this was really this is a big deal. Now they've been here 5 years. I think it's fascinating. I ran across a book that was honoring the Portland Fire Department and Portland firemen. It's a book about 8x10 or maybe a little larger. It wasn't a small book. And so here are all the stations and all the firemen and the chiefs and all the rest, and they all sold ads. And right near the back was a full-page ad. They did say, "Hey, Tian, brother." But there's a full-page ad And the thing that I remember at the bottom, now mind you, they're 5 years old. Portland's exclusive and permanent rug store. Permanent rug store. I thought that was kind of audacious. So displayed there and got a medal. We did in 1909 Alaska Yukon Exposition in Seattle and displayed there and got a medal. The Panama Pacific in San Francisco in 1915. They displayed there. And there was a Panama, California. Anyway, it was in San Diego the following year, a smaller one. And that was pretty much it in terms of those fairs or expositions.
When your uncle or your father first came here, do you know where they lived?
My uncle lived in Ladd's Addition. I can't tell you exactly. I can tell you pretty close. What is that street? 12th, I think. 12th Street runs north and south, and where it crosses Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm heading north now to do it geographically, Ladd's Addition is now on my right. That whole area is on my right. And there's a street that angles in, comes in at an angle into 12th and Hawthorne.
Right.
It would be down that street a few houses.
Uh-huh.
That's where Uncle lived. I think I'm pretty correct that my dad is bachelor now. He was living in a hotel, which still is there. I don't remember the name of it. It's on the corner now of, I don't know, it's 13th and Washington. I'm going to say 14th, but the freeway runs through there. But it's just this side. That would be the east side of the freeway,
mm-hmm.
Right at the end of Washington Street. There's a hotel there, and that's where my dad stayed.
Mm-hmm. And he lived there for several years?
As far as I know. I do know that I was born and raised at 7th and Holiday Street.
Right. What was that neighborhood like at that time?
Older homes. And as I was growing up, well, I guess, I don't know when Lloyd started to buy, but Lloyd started buying up the land there. And then he would tear down the houses because it was cheaper to pay property taxes on property than it was a property in a house. So there was a lot of vacant lots, which is good for us as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there were only two houses on our block. And we occupied one large size lot, and then the next door, maybe we had 3/5 of the block, and the next door was 2/5 of the block. But then the other half of the block was totally vacant. And every once in a while, can't remember now, but I do remember somebody would come with the horses and a grass cutter, whatever they call those things, and mow down the grass on the backyard, and we'd cut through there on our way to holiday school as kids. But there was a lot of vacant lots around there. But it was family residents. At one time, apparently, it was a pretty classy neighborhood. That doesn't mean it wasn't classy while we were there. It was nice. But apparently it was a select neighborhood, and I've got a photograph actually of our home.
I'd heard that you had a photograph that you enlarged, and when you enlarged it, you found a picture of yourself as a child.
That's right. Well, I was a little older than that. Actually, this would have been in the 40s.
Ah.
Because in that whole series of pictures, and they're little tiny pictures, I don't know, 2 by 2 inches, I'm not sure what the camera was. My brothers were home on leave. They had their uniforms on. So this would be in the 40s, not quite the middle 40s, mm-hmm. Previous, I don't know, 43, 44. And anyway, I thought, gee whiz, there's a picture of the house. I really like this, you know, it's too tiny. I wanted to get, so I got an 8x10, blew it up. And there I am standing on the front porch. I couldn't see me in that dinky little picture. But there I am standing on the front porch. The house, my father died, and then my mother was there. It's a big house, and we as kids, I got married, and my brothers, anyway, mother sold the house and moved out southwest. That's where she lived till she died.
You've explained a little bit about your father's background. What about your mother's background? She was from Beirut, wasn't she?
Pardon?
Beirut?
Beirut, yes. Mm-hmm. Her maiden name was Asly, A-S-L-Y. The family was in the shipping business, I believe. I know they had something to do with maritime or shipping or something. Mm-hmm. I know they were well off. The family home, I do recall being there, and it was right on the edge of the Mediterranean. We could go to a balcony and there's the Mediterranean right there. I can recall when we went there as children, my mother looking from the ship to see the house. And I think she was raised in easy circumstances. Mm-hmm. I would say easier than my father. The family, if I understand my father's family, raised Arabian horses. That was part of their livelihood.
In Syria.
In Syria and Mar. Uh-huh. And I guess also olives. But they were less well off than my mother's and her family. Mm-hmm. And I really haven't followed that as well as I should. I have a cousin who lives in North Carolina, I think, or South Carolina. My brother Ed just visited her from my mother's family, and they're living there. And there's still some family in Lebanon. And I'd like to visit them someday, but I haven't yet gotten the courage to go to Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Although I know I can, and probably safely. And this is maybe not even directly, you know. I think the U.S. government still discourages travelers to Lebanon. But I can certainly do it by going to Cyprus and going there, or going to Syria. And actually, from my father's home, if I look toward the Mediterranean, which I can see from my father's home, to my left is Lebanon. I mean, I can see it. It's there. That's Lebanon over there. That's where all the smuggling takes place, right? That road that goes from Lebanon to Homs. It's just a lot of smuggling goes on there.
Was your mother then was Syrian as well?
Yes. Now she would be called Lebanese.
Lebanese.
Yeah, huh. Because it's Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what were your parents' religious backgrounds?
My father was Presbyterian. Mother, I'm guessing, probably was at least some Catholic background. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do that because I recall her taking us as kids to a Catholic church. Although I don't recall going there very often, and it was very clear that she shifted gears and we became Episcopalians as children. Mm-hmm. And my brothers and I were confirmed Episcopalians. But I'm guessing she came here as a Catholic.
Mm-hmm. And do you know how the family actually got into the selling of rugs? You had mentioned that your uncle's deal with this person who fell through. But had there been any activity in that line prior to that arrangement?
Nothing of significance. They may have had some rugs. They were small things, I'd guess, uh-huh. To peddlers, although that was not anything that was primary or major, or mm-hmm. just sort of maybe more incidental. However, they had a familiarity with that concept, having come from that part of the world. That Syria is not a place in which they're known for Oriental rugs. But there's rugs there. There's in Turkey and some rug making, you know, mm-hmm. again, not of Turkey, was more major than Syria by far in terms of making rugs. And obviously Iran was the major. But so, except for having some exposure to that, I don't think they really had any rug, Oriental rug business that they moved from Pennsylvania to Oregon. I think it was this guy that created that business.
Did your father say much about his own upbringing? How he grew up? Or?
No. Just a few little bits of stories. Apparently, well, uncle was older than my father. And I know my father went to the American University of Beirut. They talk about, I don't know, this is sort of disjointed, but they would take Arabic bread and some cheese, and that would be their food that they would eat en route or something. But I never did get much detailed story of my father, his early life, what he did. Never got really into it. See, my father was 35 when I was born, so he would have been, you know, by the time I got to be, you know, 8, 9, 10, he would have been late 40s. And
Did they discuss their philosophies of life or political ideas or anything like that when you were growing up?
No.
Would you describe it as an apolitical family then?
I would, except for I remember there was a big, I would say, party at our house during the election between Roosevelt and Hoover, and my dad was for Hoover. Obviously, Hoover didn't make it. I remember that event. That's about the only thing I would relate political at all. There was nothing.
What about activities that they were involved in, organizations or?
No, there's the only thing I remember is, well, mother was interested in the Red Cross, and she was, she spent a lot of time at it during the war, especially. And dad was liked to go to the Elks Club. He never went to meetings; he went to play cards, and he really enjoyed that. Spent a lot of time there.
Did you refer to some kind of a Syrian organization or something that earlier I thought I heard some remark about getting together as a community or as?
Well, they go visit at homes, but there was a club.
There was, yeah.
Yeah.
But what kind of club was it?
Oh, just I guess they're like both ethnic groups had a club, and it was a Syrian club. Now I say that because of later years they always argue, is it going to be called Syrian Lebanese or Lebanese Syrian, or they're going to have some other broad-based name or whatever. But there was a Syrian club then, and it was a small old building as best I can recall. I don't recall really going to any meetings or anything like that as a child or taken to. May have been a party or two there, but I don't have any strong memories of that.
Now, you were born on February 20th, 1923, and that was in Portland, wasn't it? And it was 15 months after your brother's.
Yeah, 16, I think it is.
16?
Let's see. Well, 15 or 16. Anyway, it's from October 2nd to February 20th, whatever that comes up to.
And that was Richard and Edward. But I had read in the paper that your mother raised you as triplets.
Well, she liked to dress us the same. And I was bigger than they were, so that would kind of match up. I mean, as we get a little bit older.
Right.
And so she has us. I've seen pictures where we're all three dressed exactly the same. She was very particular about how we looked and how we dressed, and made sure we were clean and neat, and that we looked pretty good.
What was her intent? I mean, did she have a particular something in mind for you socially, or was this just a matter of tradition? This is what her.
No, I think that's just the way she was.
Right.
I think she was kind of proud of the fact that she had three boys, and sometimes people would take us as twins.